May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I preached this past Saturday night, but for some reason I picked up a bug overnight and was not able to make it Sunday, the first time in 5 or 6 years of not being at church on Sunday with being sick. So I will not breathe on you tonight and will not be handing you the bread. I will do something else. What I meant to say in my sermon on Sunday was, if you remember the story of the transfiguration of Christ, who took up to the top Peter, James, and John, his senior disciples, they saw an appearance by Christ along with Moses and Elijah. And at my seminary in New York City, where I studied, at the very high altar on the very left-hand side, you see Moses, a rather tall statue representing the law, and then you see on the very end Elijah, very tall, representing the prophets. And those are the bookends of the Jewish story. And it's also part of the summary of the law, which we say in prayer one, is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So those are the bookends of the Jewish tradition, our ancestors. And today, tonight, is another bookend, a bookend starting for the season of Lent. And we end with another bookend, which is Good Friday. Both days are days of obligation in our church. We don't normally say that language. That's more of a Roman Catholic phrase. But they are days of obligation, and the expectation is people will come to church on those days to worship God and to be present in the moment during Lent. So tonight we remember our mortality by receiving ashes on our forehead, even though we just heard the gospel that we're not supposed to disfigure ourselves to be shown in public. So this past Sunday, we had the Old Testament lesson from Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. And then we had the story of the transfiguration of Christ going up on the mountain, two very parallel pieces of construction in the Bible. And although Moses was God's chosen leader of Israel, it was possible for him to draw to God only because God gave permission for him to do so. But it's different with Jesus' relationship with God, because Jesus, being God's beloved Son, needed no permission to stand in the presence of God. And we too, as his disciples, do not need that permission to do so, as we do every Sunday, as we do tonight, as we do every time we worship God and pray. So God gives us permission through our confession of sins and the absolution granted to us for Jesus' sake. We have to think a little bit about Lent, because we cannot have Easter without Lent. We cannot have the day of resurrection without the day of crucifixion. Otherwise, it's for naught. So we have these bookends, this period of time, 40 days in the desert. And as you and I come down from the mountaintop experience of the Transfiguration from Sunday's reading, we are now on our journey to Jerusalem. We are starting the journey from northern Israel all the way down through Samaria into the gates of Jerusalem, which we'll enter on Palm Sunday. Easter reminds us that not even death can keep us from God's unconditional love. So we enter into this period, a time that you may have some history with this. In the Presbyterian Church, when I grew up, we didn't really celebrate Lent. I had no clue what it was about until I went to a Roman Catholic church with a nun who was a mentor of mine in San Antonio. And so some of you might have grown up in a church like I did, where we have to get right with God because God is keeping track of all of our sins and making points in the large book when we come to the pearly gates, and he's going to look at it and see what we've done and are we worthy. And yet that is not who God is. We don't have this concept of original sin, that we were born in our wretchedness. That is totally not of Jesus. And the concept of original sin was taken and gotten on the fast track with Augustine of Hippo in the 5th century. If you put a Jesus lens on top of that, there's no congruency in it. So that was another example of man-made, human-made rules and regulations that were to, quote, keep us often in our place. There is nothing about original sin which Jesus can talk about because he doesn't believe that we are born as wretched people. We're born in God's image. We are created in God's image as beautiful people, his children. He loves us unconditionally, even though we have our foibles and faults and sins, which is basically anything that takes us away from God. And so, for some of us who might have been raised in that tradition, we might think that Lent is a total mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa type of experience. And yet, that's not really what God intends for us to do. We are called to reflect and perhaps to fast if we can. Ash Wednesday and Good Friday are our normal fast days, if you can do that medically. On Good Friday, it's usually till after 3 o'clock, after Jesus has been taken down off the cross. It's a time of penitence, a time of forgiveness, of asking for forgiveness, of seeking out those whom we have wronged this year. It is very akin to that in the Jewish tradition of Yom Kippur, which is a high holy day known as the Day of Atonement, or the Day of At-One-ment. As we try to become at one with God in this last year where we have strayed off the path, this is the time as we walk to Jerusalem in this next 40 days where we are to be cognizant of where we have strayed, to make right with people that we have wronged, and to forgive when others ask for our forgiveness, for when they too are on their journey. So I was reading this book, it's called Journeying Through Lent with Matthew, Daily Meditations by the author Andrew Rognes, R-O-G-N-E-S-S. It was published in 2001 by Augsburg Press. And one of the things that I think is really beautiful and a very, very great image to think about, and you walked in today, you passed our baptismal font, the largest and the greatest and the first of the great sacraments, baptism and Eucharist, baptism becoming a Christian or being Christianed. And so one of the things that he meditates on, and I would give this to you as well for your meditation, he says, "My thumb and forefinger dip into the baptismal font holding the ashes. It seems wrong because pristine water used to be there. The ashes are polluting where clear crystal water should be." And if you think of that, each of us has a ministry by the virtue of our baptism. And over this last year and every year, we pass the font, we pass that, and we see the pollution in there, which comes from the ashes, from the sin that we have done in the last year. We don't have ashes back there, per se, but it's a beautiful image to think that when we are made a Christian and sealed with the Holy Spirit of God and marked as Christ's own forever with holy oil on our face, the only other time that we receive oil on our face is if we're sick and we come forward for healing, or ashes, the remember and the reminder of our penitence. So we're specks of dust with unbounded egos, claiming that such infinite power and being belongs to us by name. And even so, the taste of words cannot be easily seasoned as to hide their blow to us tonight, to hide the blow to our inflated egos. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. You are nothing, and to nothingness you shall return. But those call us back to those enigmatic sayings of Jesus, which is, whoever would find their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. So tonight, we lose our life for the sake of Christ. We come forward and kneel in a penitential way to receive the ashes on our forehead, to be reminded that we are to lose our life for the sake of Christ. And as Jesus always told his disciples, to be in the world and not of the world. And that's a very difficult thing, but we bring that focus during this time of Lent as we walk to Jerusalem. So for a brief moment, we are brought to our knees. not in penitential sadness as much as in humility. This is a night of humility. And all worshipers returned to their seats, glancing at one another as though looking through a mirror. We are each one made by God. Each one is given life and is worth something given by God. Each one is on a journey home to God, the journey, our eventual journey being Jerusalem when we pass this earth. And without God, each one is nothing. While the smell and dust and ashes linger in the air, for this brief moment, we are fully awake to reality. God is the center of our life and of all things. And so whether you give up something during Lent or take on something, ask yourself, what are you doing it for? And what is the purpose of it? And is your enriched spiritual life in the midst of that? So for some of us, like me, who grew up knowing that we have a vengeful God and you're going to hell and so forth and so on, this is a difficult time. This is not supposed to be a light day. This is a heavy day, absolutely. This is the Yom Kippur of the Christian message, of the Christian experience. But one of our bishops in the House of Bishops wrote something recently, and he said, it's funny, isn't it, that you can preach a judgmental and a vengeful and an angry God, and nobody will mind. But when you start preaching a God that is too accepting, too loving, too forgiving, too merciful, and too kind, you're in trouble. And yet that is the God that we worship, the one that is too accepting, the one that is too loving, the one that is too kind and too forgiving and too merciful, and the one who continues to not keep that book writing down our sins, but to forgive us every time we stray. God knows what is in our heart, and I pray that each of us in these bookends of Lent between tonight and Good Friday will be on that journey to Jerusalem and walk straight down that path and continue to allow God to guide us, to nurture us, and to remind us again that we do not have Easter without Lent. So may you have a prayerful and dedicated and blessed Lent in whatever God calls you to do this season. Amen.